Hi, friends, and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. My name is Todd Chipman. I'm one of the pastors at the Masters Community Church. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of members of our fellowship and some who have been launched out from MCC, and we are happy today to welcome Travis and Lauren Montgomery to the podcast. Travis was an intern at MCC and now is a pastor at Northside Fellowship, and his beautiful wife Lauren works at Rachel House, a pregnancy center here in Kansas City. Travis and Lauren, thanks so much for joining us here.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. It's really great. It's good to catch up.
Well, for our listeners, Travis, catch us up on your connection to MCC. Just give us a bit of the timeline and how the Lord brought you among us and then led you away to work here yet in Kansas City at Northside Fellowship.
Yeah, absolutely. I had some ministry experience and some theological education in Southern Missouri, where Lauren and I are both from. I did ministry in Joplin for a few years, which is just a few hours south of KC. And just during that time, started my Master of Divinity at Midwestern Seminary and had you as an online professor, and really felt the need to have more mentorship. I felt like I had been put into a lot of responsibility without having really seen what a healthy church can look like. And so Lauren and I were praying and discerning that, and I started commuting to Kansas City one day a week for an ethics class and then your Greek class. And you were just really encouraging. I just remember the ways that, you know, you would make sure that I was doing okay and ask how the drive was and be praying for our ministry. And then toward the end of that semester, Lauren and I were both praying about what it would look like to move to Kansas City, pursue the MDiv on campus. You invited us to consider coming to Masters rather, and me doing an internship there. So that was 2017, that summer. So in the Lord's providence, housing opened up that was affordable and doable for us. And so we kind of prayerfully decided to come on up. And that was fall of 2017, became members at MCC. And I was doing my studies and Lauren was doing her bachelor's in business at Spurgeon College. And then all of 2018, I was an intern for MCC. And during that time, the Lord worked in a lot of other ways I can tell you more about. But during that time, we grew a lot and learned a lot, thought a lot about what ministry in the future would look like, but simultaneously was working at Midwestern and seemed like the Lord was opening up a path there and maybe a sense of kind of vocation and career in some of what I was doing in our church partnerships office eventually. And so when we started realizing that Kansas City might still be home for us, but we had still talked about what it'd be like to be sent out and do ministry, had talked with you and the other elders about what church planting could look like and prayed about that. About that time in 2019, we were asked to be part of a team that was planting a new church in the Northland of Kansas City. And so through 2019 and 2020 and then into 2021, Northside Fellowship came about, where I am now one of the pastors while I continue to work at Midwestern.
So fun to hear you just knock off dates and the timeline there. I remember sitting in my office or Panda Express or Panera talking about the continued desire for church planting, even early on in your internship, as we would talk about your gifting and what was going on. You know, I remember one time distinctly you said, I would be surprised if God doesn't have Lauren and me involved in church planting somewhere at some point. Yeah. And I affirmed that, and an entrepreneurial spirit and gifting in terms of leadership and teaching. And at that time you were, you know, obviously progressing in your schooling, no children at that point, ready to roll. I thought, boy, who knows what the Lord would have, but yes, you'd have the energy and opportunity for church planting. It's fun to see how that has come about and the stability of Northside. I want to come back to that in a bit here and think about it. So excited for what the Lord is doing there. And And yes, so it was about a year ago where we prayed for you on a Sunday, I think, in the midst of the pandemic or something like that, when there were 8 people in the room, and we prayed for you via technology, I think, or something along those lines. And now Northside's begun. And as we want to continue to connect as a church with our alumni who've gone out, this has been something that we have talked about during this conversation, but there's been a greater sense of urgency in the last week or so for me to get this scheduled, because there's big news, really, really big news. So Lauren, I'm going to turn to you here, share with MCC listeners who are not on Facebook what's going on with you all.
You have missed some big stuff. So yeah, excited to fill people in. I guess I would start even last year, really, with this. But yeah, so last year, Travis and I, we had been for a few years wanting to start a family and everything. And we knew when we first got married that it was going to be a little bit more difficult for us. I have this condition called PCOS. And we knew when we got married that that would be a factor, but we didn't know just how difficult that would cause us to, you know, to be able to start a family. And so then a few years ago when we decided, okay, we want to actually start a family, you know, and we were like, okay, maybe a few months, or, you know, okay, a year, whatever, and realized, okay, years turn into more years and everything. And so last year we started going to the doctor, and we ended up even trying a few different infertility medicines and, you know, pretty basic stuff. And we did 3 months of that, and it did not work. And at the end of that, they were just kind of like, okay, we can't really do much more for you. And so obviously that was crushing and hard. And so then we kind of went back to, you know, ground zero of like, okay, where do we go from here? And looking for new doctors, and got some really great recommendations. And so we started going to a new doctor this April. We had our very first appointment with her. So we had that appointment. And they were like, okay, we want to just do some, you know, blood work, just figure out if there's any other underlying issues that are causing this and so forth. And so I'm doing all this blood work week after week after week, and it's coming back and they're telling us this is not looking right. And, you know, this is just in the last month or so. And like, okay, all right. So we go in, the 31st was, yeah, April 31st. We go on April 31st and they're like, we want to do a scan to make sure everything's okay and stuff. And, you know, I can't even carry a child. And the nurse goes to do the ultrasound and she stops and switches the way she's doing it. And we're like, this is very odd. Okay. And so thankfully, and I forgot to preface it with this. Travis has been super supportive and has come to every single one of my appointments, even the blood work and all. And so of course he came to this appointment and I asked, can he come back for this? And the nurse said, well, he's not going to see much. Did she know. And so anyways, so we're, you know, I'm laying there and all this, and then she switches the ultrasound and the screen's facing her at the moment. And she was like, you're pregnant. And there's just shock and confusion and just dumbfounded. What are you talking about? I'm pregnant. And she turns the screen and about 30 seconds later, oh, And it's with twins. And we're like, what? We're looking at each other, laughing hysterically and just in amazement. And then she's like, and it looks like you're around 20 weeks pregnant or so. Would you like to know the sex of your babies? And we're like, sure, why not? Yeah, that'd be great. So she told us that, yeah, we are pregnant with twin boys. So it was quite a shock. And it's, yeah. And so found out, yeah, just a few weeks ago. And then as soon as we got done with that doctor's appointment, we ran home and packed our bags and drove home to see all of our family and shared the great news with them. And so, yeah, it was incredible and just, yeah, unreal to just see, just God's work in this. And it's just incredible to see how, even though like we were told like, yeah, it's going to be really hard. And like, we did have all of these failed treatments and wondering like, you know, maybe this isn't meant to be, you know, maybe won't have biological children looked in, you know, we've even looked into, you know, foster care and adoption and embryo adoption and all of these things. And not that we don't want to do those still, but it was just, that was more on our minds than anything, because that's what we expected to be the very next step. And so to know though that we were able, because of the Lord, to get pregnant without any sort of science, medicine, or anything like that. I mean, it just leaves us in awe and amazement and just, you know, you can only give God glory for it because he was the only one who could have done something like this. And so, yeah, we're just on cloud nine. So it's really amazing.
Oh, that, it is just so cool to hear you tell this story. It is just, that room, you all walked in with a certain set of ideas on your minds. And when you walked out, everything was different. Yeah. Everything changed. This is such a cool moment to hear this. And it takes me back several years ago in our church, about 15 years ago now, we would share answers to prayer. You remember this, we would do it at MCC on Sundays, and been doing this for a long time. And folks share answers to prayer. One member of our church got up and they were in the very same situation, hoping to have a family and hadn't been able to. We've been praying for them and just really seeking the Lord together. And this gentleman stood up and tears in his eyes during worship and said, you know, just want to praise God. We have an answer to prayer that we're expecting. And everybody just erupted, you know, just, it was applause. That it was, we don't always applaud at FCC. We did there. And then he said, and it's twins. And then there were hoops and hollers. And this moment here is the same. It is so cool to think of God's sovereignty. And again, God uses means, but he doesn't have to. And this is a situation where he showed that. And we are so excited for you all. And just the blessing of your family. And speaking of family, let's catch up a bit. Those who know you and know you from your time at MCC, and those who have come to MCC later and would be listening, catching up here on Travis and Lauren's moms, both have had various challenges, and it's fun to hear of God's leadership and blessing. So catch us up. And Lauren, how about you? How's your mom doing?
Yeah, so she's also doing really, really well, quite remarkably. So going from being on hospice and not thinking that we would have her obviously much longer to, just God just supernaturally, you know, intervening in her life and truly a just a complete change. And now the person that she is today is completely different than who she was for so many years with just her severe, you know, mental illness. And so it was just so amazing seeing. We were talking about this last week at our small group of just God's sovereignty, and thinking a few years ago, had we got pregnant and went to share that with her in the state of her mind, she probably would not have been able to comprehend it at all. And so even though it was hard and like we wanted a family then and everything, but now, you know, several years later, she's doing so much better. And to be able to share that news with her, you know, last weekend without any reservation of, you know, is this going to trigger something, or, you know, walking around on eggshells or something like that. There was no fear whatsoever because she's doing so much better and in her right mind. And so it was just such a beautiful blessing of like, okay, like this was not the timing we expected. Like I would have hoped that she would have been doing so much better years and years before, but at this time and at this season, God saw it fit for us to be pregnant, and God saw it fit that at this time that her, you know, mind would be restored. And so it was just such a beautiful thing to get to share that with her. And if you are on Facebook, I got to post that video of her on there, and you can check that out. And it was just so, so sweet. So yeah, it's amazing. And she's already started working on the decor for the boys' nursery. And so it's so neat to just have her already coming alongside and supporting us in this.
That is so neat to hear. I just remember, yeah, praying that the Lord would spare your mom a little longer. I mean, her health was in that kind of a situation. So that is just so, so neat. And it will be great to see her be able to interact with these boys and what that's going to mean. Very fun. Well, the blessings are just flowing downhill here toward us. Let's continue to think about them. And Northside, Travis, catch us up on coming back here. We talked about church planting. This is on your mind and gifting and so forth. And one of the churches that we have a good relationship with, Northland Baptist, a stable church in the Northland of Kansas City, and a church that has a heart for planting and is growing and able to plant right now. And so excited for that. In conjunction with the North American Mission Board, and they had a vision for planting, and they had a lead who was ready to go out, and you know him. And so catch us up there, 2018 into 2019 specifically, and now into Northside life.
Yeah, so Northland Baptist had been growing and had plans to build, kind of expand their sanctuary to kind of accommodate that, and still have plans to do that and intend to do that, but also wanted to send people out. So if people all over the Northland of Kansas City, which is a pretty big area, are coming, then maybe there's a place where some of them could kind of split off and go really focus on a more particular area. And so, yeah, you mentioned Taylor DiRoberto is a good friend of mine, and we've gotten to know one another through our time in seminary and working near one another. And so just had a really kind of kindred spirit with him, and really appreciated his friendship and fellowship in the Lord. And so when Northland Baptist decided we're going to look to plant another church, and they asked Taylor to assemble a team to do that, Taylor had reached out to me and to two other men who he felt were a good fit and would kind of understand the vision and could be qualified to be pastors. And so we got together pretty quickly and sat down and talked about ministry philosophy, especially. This was late spring, early summer of 2019. So I was filling out job application stuff for my current position while we were in the hospital with Lauren's mom. And right around that time, we were starting to think, well, I guess Kansas City is going to be home for a season. And Taylor asked if that was something we'd be interested in. Just that very week, we had been praying about potentially doing something like that. And so getting to talk with him and to talk to the other pastors or, would-be pastors at that point, and talking about ministry philosophy and values and priorities and giftedness and doctrine. And it was just really, really encouraging to hear that we were very much on the same page, pretty remarkably so. And so we began meeting every week, the four of us, Hayden Summerhill, Lucas Jones, Taylor DiRoberto, and myself, to pray and to talk and to think about what Scripture says about churches and to think about what our area, where in our area we could maybe see a need for a healthy gospel preaching church, and talked to some pastors in the area, especially the areas that we were considering, a couple of different places in the Northland, and really kind of saw that providentially three of the pastors, Lauren and I were living in an apartment at the time, but three of the pastors had purchased homes in the Kansas City North area, which is sort of a, there's the river, and then there's North Kansas City, and then it's Kansas City, Missouri all over again for a little bit. And then it's, you keep going, and it's Gladstone and Claycomo and Liberty. But that kind of pocket, that's Kansas City, Missouri toward Claycomo. There are a couple of churches and that are gospel preaching churches. Some are Southern Baptist, some are not. And we just met with several of those pastors and asked them what they thought the needs were in the area, if they thought that there needed to be more healthy churches in the area. And we just kind of got an overwhelming invitation. Hey, please come be part of this. Please come help us reach people. Please come preach the word and have a church here. So we really were encouraged by that. One of the things that kind of comes to mind for a lot of people, including me, when we hear about church planning is, do we really need a church in that area? Do we really need more churches, or should we just continue to serve the churches that are there? And so to hear that encouragement and to be a part of a church that was going to plant the church with or without me was really, really an encouragement to us. And then just prayerful support and consideration from you all, the elders of MCC and other friends and godly counsel. We started moving that way and praying and continued to meet, and then began to talk with people from Northland Baptist and from other churches who had expressed an interest in being part of a new work, and continue to just share with them what our heart was and what our ministry philosophy would be, and have them pray and ask questions. And then COVID hit right as we were starting to do that. And a lot of church plants kind of ground to a halt at that point. But we had had a kind of an intention from the start that there would be bivocational ministry would be a hallmark of what we did, at least to get going. And that was something from Northland Baptist, our sending church, that they really wanted and saw just that could be a helpful vehicle to get new church plants up and going and stable more quickly. And that's partly from Matt Mars, one of the pastors there, works with the North American Mission Board, which is kind of a church planting arm domestically of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so that's something that they really wanted to see happen. They really wanted to be part of happening. And so that really helped us that we aren't, trying to raise, a salary for a guy and his family who are new to the area and don't even know anybody and are just trying to get along and start a church. And so that was real, really encouraging and very helpful for us, that it was just about building relationships and discipling people and kind of beginning to start shepherding and the support of other local churches in the area. So all that really helped us a lot. And so we spent that summer not being able to, canvass the neighborhood as much or meet together for worship as much, but just to pray and to keep considering what God would do here and keep investing in some of those individual relationships. And then last fall 2020, we began a weekly small group or four weekly small groups, I guess, and monthly worship gatherings, just to kind of give people a sense that this is what it will be like to be a church together. Be praying, be considering, be talking to your pastors of your local church. Keep going there, keep giving there, keep fulfilling your church covenant, but prepare to be sent out. And some joined us, some did not. And that was kind of our prayer, was that the Lord would make it clear to people. Others kind of joined us toward the end of that season, and more have joined since. But January 31st of 2021, we had our first members meeting called Affirm One Another's Members, affirmed our doctrinal statements, affirmed our church covenant, called four pastors, and baptized two believers, and took the Lord's Supper together. So that was a really monumental thing for us. And then since then, it's been church. Church planning is just pastoring. It's just having a church together in an area where there wasn't one before. And so we've been enjoying worship together, enjoying preaching and teaching and community and outreach. And so it's been great.
So fun to hear of the Lord's providence and raising up this church and you and other men who are leading there. And in the midst of COVID, the Lord's strength on you all and your commitment with the vision that this is, COVID is a season and churches are more than seasonal. Yeah. And I just so appreciated your commitment to that. And obviously with the care of Northland and Matt Mars and NAM, and there's so much wisdom there. And I just appreciate the SBC and its work and people like Matt. It's a huge blessing to me, and I'm excited for all the Lord is doing there and the team, such varied gifting. And I know those pastors, some pretty well, that you're working with, and just very fun. So excited to see how the Lord continues to work in the days ahead. I want to catch up, Lauren, for just a minute on Rachel House. This is another point of connection with MCC and you all and partnership. We've supported Rachel House in various ways, and Rachel House, crisis pregnancy ministry. Catch us up on what the Lord's doing there in your work.
Yeah. So first wanted to just thank you guys this year in partnering with us in a baby bottle drive. And yeah, you guys did a phenomenal job in that and raised a lot of support, which will go directly towards helping, holistically empower family units and through our advocacy, education, discipleship, and mentoring programs, and to be able to just help them navigate through an unplanned pregnancy. But right now, the biggest things, there's a lot of big things changing, and it's been exciting. And so on April 22nd, we actually rebranded. And so Rachel House Pregnancy Resource Centers is now Resource Health Services. And so we changed names. We still have the same mission, the same heart. But the one thing that is changing is that we're adding services. And so we saw that our target focus is to reach more abortion-minded men and women. And so with the name Rachel House, people are always wondering, who's Rachel? And I'm not needing a house. And so what's that about? Or they think it's a maternity home and it's not. And just a lot of confusion and not really, the name is not very clear on who we are, who we're trying to serve. And so we're taking a more medical route. And so even though Resource Health Services, isn't it as warm and fuzzy as, Rachel House, which has been the name for 29 years and everything, we really are hoping that we can reach, more men and women to be able to get them in the doors, because we know that there are a lot of men and women going, obviously, to Planned Parenthood, and we, want to be able to rival against them. We want those men and women coming through our door so that they can be served with compassionate care, that they can hear the gospel, that they can be equipped and encouraged and know that they can support and take care of their babies, and that they can be partnered with a local church, and that somebody will walk alongside them for as long as they would like. And so our hope and what Planned Parenthood does is that they want to create legacy clients. And so from the very first time they come in, they want people to feel that this is their medical provider. And so if they're coming in for an STD test or something like that, then maybe if they find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy down the road, then in their minds, they think, well, I'll just go to Planned Parenthood. And so we want to be able to match as, you know, match services similar to what Planned Parenthood have so that men and women are coming to us. And so in June, we're actually going to be launching STD testing and treatment in all four of our locations. We have a board of medical advisors that said, you know, this is a great way for you guys to reach more abortion-minded men and women. The STDs are an epidemic. There are 2 million new cases every single year. And so many people are going to Planned Parenthood for those where they're not being taught sexual integrity. They're not being shared the gospel. And so our hope is to connect with them when they come in, to teach them about sexual integrity, to share the gospel with them. And if they find themselves later on down the road in an unplanned pregnancy, then they can come to us knowing that we are, one, our services are completely free and confidential, but also that they're going to be loved and cared for. And so it's a really exciting time. And also, you know, just prayerful that if they do come in for that, the testing and treatment, then that the Lord would work in their hearts. And hopefully, Lord willing, we don't see them for an unplanned pregnancy, because the Spirit convicts them in that they do change the way that they're living and, you know, follow the Lord, and that many will be saved through this new service that we will be providing. And so it's an exciting time. But I think I would just want to emphasize importantly that we in no way, shape, or form is the mission changing of Resource Health, that we're not, you know, going away from what our roots were, that we're, you know, still adamant about sharing the gospel at every opportunity that we can. And that is definitely at the forefront of what we do and fuels it. So, yeah.
Resource Health Services.
Yep.
Like, that's, yes, boy, branding means so much, doesn't it? And names.
Yes.
And what we communicate, especially in that kind of a ministry. Well, it is fun to hear of the Lord's work there yet, and look forward to the expansion in these new tests and what that will mean for the work there of Resource Health Services. Well, Travis and Lauren, this has been a delight to catch up. We are grateful for you. We love you. We miss you. And your fingerprints are still on the ministry of MCC, and we're grateful for the time that you were among us, and excited for what the Lord's doing with you all now. And we'll do this again. We will definitely have you back when we can hear some babies crying in the background.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you guys so much for just the way that you've kept up with us. That's really significant, and I think I got to tell a quick story. When our very first week in Kansas City, before we got to come to a Sunday service, I think, we went to a Wednesday night MCG, and Glenda Wiley and Mary Whited asked what we do, what brought us there. When we said we were seminary students, they almost broke down because they were so sad because someone had just recently left them. And it was kind of in good fun, and we've joked about it a lot with them since then, and grew to love them over the 3 years in their MCG. And when we announced we were leaving, Glenda Wiley texted me and immediately just said, "I told you so." And, but it's just so cool. And one of the things that I've seen you encourage the church family, and one of the things that, I've seen, is that you can have an impact on a lot of churches. You know, one small church in Kansas City, Kansas, can have a lot of impact in a lot of ways by investing in young men and young women who are training to serve in churches, especially young men training to be pastors. And so thank you all so much, not just for doing that for me while I was there, but for keeping up with us and praying for us. And it really means a lot.
You're welcome. We're in it together and excited for more. And yeah, we'll just look forward to this. God bless you guys. Such a blessing to just hear of what's going on. I look forward to more. So thanks again, Travis and Lauren.
Thanks.
I want to thank as well Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for the music in the Voices of MCC podcast, and Alex Volkman for his help in producing. Until next time, friends, may the Lord bless and keep you.
Awesome.